At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. All right. Welcome back to the Table Talk podcast. My name is Melody Hartzler. I'm the founder of Farm to Table and the leader of the Farm to Table team. So we're so excited today to talk with two of our fabulous pharmacists on the team who are actually both in Texas enjoying warmer weather than I currently am. I had my fight with my children on the way to school about gloves and hats, and my son was so ecstatic about taking his gloves and hats to school that I was just like, fine, just go without them. It'd be cold. But that's all right. Those are the battles sometimes we have with four-year-olds. But today we are going to talk about movement and breathing. And so I'll let the ladies introduce themselves first. So we'll start with Maria. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Melody. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Maria Faruqi, and I am a functional medicine pharmacist with Farm to Table. And I'm also almost a 500-hour yoga teacher trainer with Yoga Medicine. And I've been practicing yoga, I would say, 17 years, teaching for probably 6 years of those. And I love incorporating movement as a pharmacist. You always find me recommending yoga moves to my patients when I'm counseling on YouTube videos, and I'm a high believer of movement.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. And Veronica?
Hi, I'm Veronica Riera-Gilly. I'm a holistic pharmacist on the Farm to Table team, and I'm also a 200-hour yoga instructor, and I specialize in chair yoga for people with mobility challenges.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you both for being with me this morning to chat. And Veronica is going to kick us off with a little bit of a breathing exercise. So I will let Veronica take it away there.
Thank you, Melody. Well, if you'll find yourself in a comfortable seated position, one that feels effortless to maintain, and if you're listening to us at home, feel free to close your eyes. If you're driving, please be safe. Pay attention to the road. And take just a moment to notice your body. Notice your heart rate. Notice where your breath moves in the chest. Notice any sensations in your body. And noticing how you feel. And now let's all take a moment to draw a big breath in through the nose. And then let a big sigh out. Drawing one more big breath in through the nose. And then let a big sigh out. We'll take one more big breath in through the nose. And let a big sigh out. And then take just a moment, keeping the eyes closed if you had them closed. And again, notice your body. Notice any change in your heart rate. Noticing where the breath moves in the chest. Noticing any sensations in your body. And notice how you feel. And when you're ready, slowly open the eyes. Bring your awareness back into the room. And at this point, I usually ask members of my audience who are participating in this fun little exercise with me, I ask them how they feel. The most common response that I get is relaxed. How are you feeling, Melody?
Relaxed. I could go take a little nap. So good.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's crazy that that's like what we just talked. You did that for 2 minutes. It wasn't even like a super long period of time, and people can still get into that parasympathetic state or that relaxation state with just a short period of time. I think that's, you know, really important, because a lot of times when we talk about this with people, they're like, well, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to stop and do that activity or do this breathing exercise. And it can make a difference even in that small amount of time.
Yeah, I like to add that, Melody. People usually think they need to be utterly still and quiet and find that quiet zone. And sometimes you can't during the day. You can be in your car and do that 2 minute meditative practice. Like, well, I just did mine with Veronica. My cats were just running around the house. And I was aware of those, the cat movement, but at the same time, I was trying to get in tune with my breath, which is the process that's important.
Yes.
Getting to that zone is important.
I love this exercise because it shows people how easy it is to influence our physiology. I think very often we feel that we have no control, and we actually have the tools to turn on our relaxation responses. And it's amazing how wonderfully we were designed that using our exhale, we activate the vagus nerve, which is the on switch for many of the relaxation responses in our body. And it's just a powerful thing to know that you can influence your physiology. And it's as simple as letting a big sigh out. Think about when you've done something really stressful, what's the first thing that you do? You go, oh, I'm so glad that's over. And that's your body instinctively going, you need to move into your relaxation responses. We need to get you out of fight or flight. But what's cool is you don't have to wait for that reflex. You can invite it. You can choose to change the rate and the depth of your breath and start to make a change in your body.
Yeah. I think about crying and things like that too. Like if you've had a really stressful period and you like have this sobbing moment, you're just like, oh my goodness, I feel so much better. But it comes with that sighing and just that emotional release that happens during that time.
Yeah. And one of the great ways to regulate our breathing, like Veronica said, is through yoga. And that's how I myself got into yoga, was when I was pregnant through pharmacy school and had children to raise. And yoga was the modality that I quite often tapped into to bring more awareness to myself and to regulate my anxious state that I was in. Just like the pandemic now, we're living in this heightened response. We don't know what's next because everything is so fluid. I might get a call from my kid's school asking to come and pick up my child, right? So we have always had this what if situation living next. And so what yoga does is basically stimulates our vagus system. Sorry, excuse me, I'm fighting a cold here. So yoga stimulates our vagus system, kicks it into action, and that helps bring our parasympathetic nervous system into into work. So that help, that's where we can rest and digest and relax and, you know, and understand what's happening around us, have that ability to build interoception, that awareness. And so, you know, when I find students say, well, I can't do this, or I'm feeling very anxious, I allow them to explore that emotion. What is it that you're feeling? Okay, if that's okay, what you're feeling is totally fine. And that's normal to feel that anxious state, that scared of being afraid. Okay, let's explore that stage. How can we use our breath to navigate that emotion? So for me, especially teaching my children and myself, using breath to navigate that emotion, using breath to navigate how we're feeling, our interception, awareness, you know, what the talk is between the mind and the body. And that's such a useful modality for me, yoga is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Veronica, how did you get into yoga?
I had a low back injury, and this was what was making me feel the best. And I knew that I didn't want to deal with my pain exclusively through medication. And one of my goals was to not use opioid pain medication. Mm-hmm. So yoga really helped me do that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know, you know, with it, we have this whole epidemic of, you know, pandemic virus, but we've also got this pandemic of opioid use going on in the United States. And knowing that simple movements can make such a big impact in pain control, there's lots of studies talking about not only yoga, but acupuncture and all of these other modalities for treating pain is really cool. We talk about stress a lot in our podcast. So if you've listened to our podcast so far, we've probably mentioned stress at least some point along the way. And so what Mario is saying is really important to know, you know, when we're in this fight or flight, which we call the sympathetic nervous response. So when you're running from a bear or you've got so much psychological response, you know, going on and your heart rate increases and your blood is flowing in the cardiovascular system, it's not perfusing the organs that we need it to do the rest and digest process. And I mean, you're getting some perfusion, your organs aren't dying, but you're not getting the signals to happen that should be signaling your body to make those digestive enzymes and to help secrete that bile to digest your fat and all of those things. And so the gut really suffers in that stress mode. So just these simple ways to like get your body back into the parasympathetic mode during the day can make a huge impact on gut health. Even though we think that they're unrelated topics, it can be really important to get yourself back in that place so that you can digest your food. I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience, but when I'm rushed and I'm standing and eating, or I'm eating on the go in the car, you know, the lots of stuff is going on and feeding the kids, that's when afterwards my stomach hurts or you have like issues. And then when you're sitting down, you're having a nice casual conversation with your friends and you're eating over a 30 to 40 minute period of time and you're having a chance to talk between bites and let that process of relaxation happen, it's completely different. Like there's no stomach pain, there's no issues. And so I think that if you're someone out there that you came to look for functional medicine because you're having a lot of issues, you know, with digestion, this kind of breathing thing can be really important to do something like this even right before you eat.
I often tell my family or my kids or my patients, it's like, when you're feeling stressed, just check how you're holding yourself. You know, can you just tap into your jaw? What's your jaw doing? Or what are your shoulders doing? What's your neck doing? Right. And I often find myself, I don't know about you, but I always have my, you know, jaw clenched tight. Right. It doesn't need to be. It's not going to help me with my job at hand.
Right.
My shoulders hunched up. It's like, okay, can I just like relax this and just bring a smile to my face, you know? And of course, breath, stress, movement are all tied in. We can't speak of them separately, right? And so when we are feeling stressed, we move our bodies in ways that are not conducive or not productive. And then we hold our breath. We constrict our breath. We constrict our lungs, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's going back to yoga. There's so many poses in there that allow that chest opening, that expansion, you know, even when Veronica did the breathing exercises that allows our chest to ourselves to relax and expand our chest and just like invite big breath in. And just that hopefully will somehow mellow the movements and the muscles in your face and your neck and your chest.
Yes. I find my shoulders and upper back are always the place where I'm like clenching and holding. And I also find too, like, if I'm not careful, I'll be like, you know, sort of sucking in and not like just relaxing like my even abdominal mm-hmm. space. And so I mm-hmm. will just find if I'm stressed out, it's just like this tightening all over and mm-hmm. like realize that, man, my breathing is like, I'm not even allowing that deep breath to happen in those, mm-hmm. in those periods of stress.
Do you know sympathetic innervation mostly is in your back? Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And so, of course, when you're tensed, when you're in an anxious mode, so the nerves most that are to activate you are in your back. So no wonder your back feels it
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
You know,
my massage therapist always was like, what did you do to your back? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
Computers, digital worlds.
Yes.
And
yes.
Headsets yeah. really get to me. Mm-hmm. Yoga is a great antidote for computer posture. I have to take many breaks and like get down on the floor and do a few stretches and moves to make sure that I don't have pain in this increase in our amount of time at the computer.
Right.
I have really felt it. And my yoga practice has been something that has really helped.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, everything we're doing is forward facing, cooking, cleaning, kitchen, even if you're not in the computer, changing baby's diapers, you know, everything that we do is forward facing.
In this posture.
In this posture. Yeah. Curl forward. And so how often do we really open our chest to have this expansive movement? And if we do, we're like, oh my God, it hurts. I'm going to stop. And we kind of do live in that culture. I always tell my parents, you know, if you feel uncomfortable in a certain movement, it doesn't mean that it's hurting you. It doesn't mean that it's wrong for you. It's just you're not comfortable. You're not used to it. So just how about you just stay in that moment and feel how you can use your breath to navigate through it.
That's such a great point to make, that we're missing our body awareness. And I think this is a big piece of why we have ended up in this culture of taking a pill for every ill is we don't trust our bodies, and we understand
the amount of dose packs we dispense, right? The Medrol dose pack. What is it for? Sciatic pain. Okay. Well, we could do something else for it too.
Yeah. But our symptoms actually mean something. And in many cases, it can be appropriate to use the medication, but the medication is supposed to buy us time to do what our body was really asking us to do. And instead we've used it as a long-term solution, and bodies are really intelligent. And the process of developing a yoga practice and a breathing practice is reestablishing that body awareness so that you as the patient know what your symptoms mean and then what you can do to help resolve them, because it doesn't always involve a pill or another service or another thing that's outside of yourself. You have many of the tools because your body is so intelligent, and the breath, 75% of the vagus, or 75% of your visceral organs are innervated by the vagus nerve. So that's a huge amount of organ systems that you can affect using your breath, because 75% of it is talking with the vagus nerve. And most of that is for digestion. And that's where we take in our nutrients and get all the building blocks to repair and heal our body. And it starts with our digestion and being able to get that good nutrition.
That's awesome.
One kind of yoga practice that I like to recommend to our clients, like Melody just hinted at before, the patients who are maybe need help coming off pain medications, is yin yoga. So I don't know, Veronica is familiar with yin yoga or not. It's like it's an intensely dynamic practice. Most people think it's boring, but I think it's absolutely amazing in tapping into your nervous system and in bringing that interception. I keep using that word. When the teacher tells you, hey, come to this pose and be still, listen to what your body is saying and surrender whatever comes up. Now, what that happens is when you do that, your whole fascia system is talking to you. Okay. So say I am lying on the floor with a block underneath me and I'm opening my chest up and I feel a sensation arise in my belly. Okay. So I don't back out of that sensation. I invite that sensation. I breathe through that sensation. I listen to what my mind is saying about that sensation. What is my body saying about that sensation? What can I do to quieten the mind? Right. So what happens is over time, as you build on this practice, it disrupts this deep-rooted beliefs that we may have about ourselves. Oh, I can't tolerate pain, right? I can't handle the situation. Oh, I can't handle this anxiety that is bubbling in me. So the more we practice, the more interception we bring into our practice, the more we challenge these notions and the more helpful it can be in day-to-day situations that we may encounter.
I love that. I actually have an example of one of my students who came to me and she was so excited. She said, do you remember that deep breathing thing you taught us? She said, I used that when I went to the dentist and I no longer needed to take my Valium to get through the visit. And that was really exciting because this patient was older. She was over 65, and those types of medications like diazepam or Valium, Xanax, Alprazolam, those drugs increase our fall risk and can impair our cognitive abilities. So it's really important that we use those in a limited amount. And it's really exciting when I see patients who are able to discontinue those drugs that have a high risk that can make them fall. And we know that falls are a big challenge for our older adults because fractures increase the risk of death. Mm-hmm. So when we start having those serious falls and fractures, we really worry about the longevity of our patients. And an important piece of keeping them safe can be helping them decrease their high-risk medications. And these tools that we gain from a yoga practice are really important, and they're not always physical postures, or asana is the name in yoga for the physical postures. There are many layers to a yoga practice, and that's just one of them. And pranayama, mm-hmm. or the breath work, is another one that I think is probably the most important in terms of using it in our pharmacy practice and helping our patients have a tool that helps them decrease their medication needs, because they now have that body awareness, and the breath is that piece. And I think it's so exciting that it doesn't matter your physical ability, yoga has something to offer you. Mm-hmm. There is a practice that's available to you no matter your physical ability or how flexible or not flexible you are. There is something there for you, and yoga meets you where you're at.
True. And yoga is not just for people who are experiencing pain. Of course, it's for people who mood disorders, anxiety, depression, eating disorders. Good.
Anybody.
Yeah, anybody, really. Anybody.
Everybody that's experiencing the stress of a 2-year-long pandemic at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
So if someone was going to start, they've never done yoga before, they're looking for resources, what are your favorite resources to send them to? In-person classes are certainly an option, however, might be challenging at this, you know, time in the winter. So if there's some way someone's going to learn to do yoga, what is your, you know, place to start?
I would recommend them, if it was before pandemic, I would say, go to different types of classes. Feel what benefits you. I mean, I know I tried different types of classes and studios, but since we're in the pandemic phase, I recommend trying different kinds of YouTube videos and see what clicks with you, and go easy on yourself, right? So there's this conception of yoga, you have to have some certain kind of clothing, certain brand of clothing you need to wear, certain kind of physique you need to have, right? And so you don't have to have any of those, and just have fun with it. Enjoy yoga, breathe through it, relax through it, and find the videos that you like. And most importantly is experiment and be curious. Just curious what your body is saying to you.
Awesome. What about you, Veronica? Any favorite recommendations?
I really like the organization Mind Body Solutions. They're a nonprofit organization in Minnesota, and they work to help people with trauma, loss, and disability. They work to help them transform that. And they have great online resources. They have their own YouTube channel. I think it's called The Hub. Maybe don't quote me on that.
And we can find a link.
Look up Mind Body Solutions, and they have great resources that are very inclusive for many diverse populations.
Okay, awesome.
And I also like Rewind Yoga. I believe they have a yoga teacher directory. Their parent company is Y Medica, but they have Rewind Gold Yoga, and it's a chair yoga program that has been studied by Arizona State University. They've got great research behind their yoga protocol. So it's a specific sequence of yoga postures that I really like, and there's lots of ways to modify it regardless of your physical ability.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I find that a lot. I take care of a lot of elderly patients or people over 65 that are patients with diabetes and metabolic syndrome. And they're always, you know, I'm always talking to them about exercise and stress reduction and things, because many of them have sort of reassumed taking care of children in this pandemic because of childcare situations and things, but trying to find them resources that can fit with their pain or fit with their abilities is really difficult sometimes to to do. So I appreciate that you're always thinking about that population of people that might not have the same flexibility or ability to get into the downward dog or whatever position that we're talking about. So in my resources, you know, so I think going to a studio for me when I did go, this was not necessarily pre-pandemic, but pre-children, when I had time to go to a studio, I really did get more into like the self-awareness and the parasympathetic state because I didn't have distractions around me at home. And so I do think if you have the opportunity and you feel comfortable with going into a studio, that going there, and I think learning too, because you can get feedback from the instructor on how your positions are, how your breathing is, and you can be in that moment, which is the whole point of yoga, is to be in that moment. Not that online videos haven't been beneficial for me, but I just know that I felt more in tune in that in-person environment. But I also, Beachbody has yoga, although some of their yoga ones are more like just stretching, not as much focused on breathing. But if you're an Apple Fitness type person, those are great too. And there's just lots of things out there. Like you mentioned online, there's Yoga with Adrienne and lots of different free videos that you can check out. I think there's even one called yogadownload.com that we can link in the show notes as well. So lots of different resources out there. So we've talked a lot about yoga. What are your outside of yoga practices that you find? I know we talked about breath awareness just in your muscles and your jaw and your shoulders and just trying to bring awareness to the body. But what other ways do you guys like to recommend movement and breathing throughout someone's week or day?
Dance party.
I love it.
Turn on something that you love and just move freely without judging yourself how it looks. Like, just enjoy the movement, and getting your body outside of your normal patterns is really important. We need to remind our bodies in all of the ways that we can move, because if we don't use it, we lose it. And mm-hmm. we don't lose our mobility because we age. We age because we don't use our mobility. Mm-hmm. If you look at our children and how flexible they are, and they just drop effortlessly into a squat, when was the last time you did a squat?
Friday.
Think about that. Say it again.
I said Friday.
And so to make these movements that are very childlike and playful and unexpected, we need to remind our body, because that neural pathway is going to get forgotten. And then you're not going to be able to move your body into that space if your body says, well, you didn't need that pathway, so I made room for something else. And we need to use all of the flexibility that's available to us earlier in our life, because that is what impacts our mobility. It's not because we're aging. We're aging because we're not moving, and we're not using the goodness that we were given.
Right.
That's so true. We're conditioned to think the opposite of sedentary is exercise, right? We think, okay, well, the opposite of sitting is just me. I have to go for a run. I have to go work out and do some kind of training. But that is so not true. It's just moving. Just get up and move. Go up, walk up and down. Like in my house, I have this flight of stairs. If I don't know what else to do, I'll just walk up and down, go and check on my kids, do something else, and then come back downstairs. Use your staircase more often. Try not to use the lift. Right? Mm-hmm. Can you go for a walk instead of taking your car down to the local grocery store? Can you park your car further away in a parking lot? You know, these are little tiny things where we can think of incorporating movements. I mean, once upon a time, I remember if we came to the house and hit open the garage door, you would get out of the car and open the garage door, right? You'd go lift the door from the bottom to the top. Now you have a switch. You switch, you click, and the garage door opens magically, right? Remote control, right? Once upon a time, we would get up and switch the channels on the TV. Now we, in fact, use a remote control from where we are sitting and switch the TV on. So little tiny things, that motor coordination that we are losing over time. So teach yourself and your children, hey, how about, can you help me with that? You may not need help in the kitchen, but get the kids to help you, right? You may not need help in the yard, but get the kids to just come so they are moving. Their bodies are mm-hmm. doing something else just besides whatever we habitually become used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of screen time with the pandemic.
For sure. I know. It's terrible. And don't feel bad if you have to. I always feel like there's some like guilt, like some mom guilt associated with that screen time. Like, and sometimes it's just like how you have to manage your day and give them a moment to like quiet down so you can handle something, but trying to find activities that they can do. I mean, our workout room in the basement, we have some rings that they can hang on. We have some soft mats, like gymnastic mats, so they can go down there and practice cartwheels and things. Cause in the winter, it's really hard to get them out moving, especially if you live in the northern half of the United States where it gets cold. I can't even imagine people, I'm in Ohio, but people in the Dakotas and Canada and all of those people that are listening, you're probably like, oh my goodness, the Ohio girl acts like she's cold. But yeah, so there's lots of ways that, and I know small spaces and homes that are small, it might be harder to have some of those things, but get a mat and put it in the living room and clear some space and let them go to town on. And I agree with the dance parties. We have a sign actually downstairs right below here that says this kitchen is made for dancing that we have hung up. And that definitely reminds us to turn on those tunes and do some dancing after dinner. I do find that that's more often a winter activity because in the summer we're out on a walk or out to the park or something like that in the evening. So good. All right. Well, any last thoughts on movement or breath that you guys have?
No movement is too small.
Yes.
So even if you can only go out and walk to your mailbox and back, if that's all that you have time for, do it because it's better than the alternative. So any amount of movement, don't judge yourself for not being able to do what someone else does or even what you used to be able to do. Just move more, whatever it is.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you both for being with me this morning and chatting about movement and breathwork and yoga. We're so excited. I can't wait for our next retreat to have some in-person yoga with both of you. But we are signing off for today. And if you'd like to learn more about Farm to Table, you can head over to our website, which is PharmToTable.life, LIFE. And you can also follow us on Instagram. So we are at Farm to Table Team on Instagram. So we look forward to connecting with you soon. And until then, we hope that you have some time for movement and breathing in your day. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.